your prayer this morning.
Lord, bless your word.
I brought two or three with me. I preached one out of two, but he switched on me this morning, about 3 something in the morning. I've been praying over it and studying it, and the bottom line is I need the Lord. I need his help. I need your prayers. I want to end this meeting by the help of the Lord on a serious note. I've been very emotional in my preaching, hard, fast, emotional. This morning you pray that I calm it way down, because this is a subject that we don't need a lot of emotion in. We need soberness in. We need seriousness in. Because we're going to deal with what I'm talking about, all of us, one day. Let's go to the 9th chapter of the good book of Hebrews. Read my text. Appreciate being able to be here. Appreciate all that you've done for us while we're here. Your hospitality and your love is much appreciated. We appreciate that. 9th chapter of the good book of Hebrews, 27th verse. And as it is appointed unto man, once to die. But after this, the judgment. That scripture depicts, and I saw something, I believe, in the scripture this morning as I was studying. I've seen something I've never seen in the scripture concerning this line of thought. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But Psalms, the 90th chapter, and also the 10th verse, said the days of our years are 80 years and 10. By reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Folks, today, no matter how you look it over, no matter what you do with it, the bottom line is we have an appointment to die. It's an appointment set by God. We all are going to have appointments down through life. We're all going to go places and do things. Sometimes we're going to be on time. Sometimes we're going to be behind time. Sometimes everybody else is going to be off time. But the bottom line for this appointment here, you and I are going to be right on time. It's going to be called by God. You and I cannot get around it. We can't get out of it. We're going to deal with it and work with it. As we go through life, we're going to meet our appointment with death, and we're going to meet it at his call. I've seen people that have made calls up. So-and-so's right at the point of death, and I've seen them live days. I've seen them live weeks after that point. But the bottom line was, when God was ready for them, they met their appointment. They stepped out into eternity. Listen, folks, today, the bottom line is we're going to die and we're going to meet God. Don't you ever forget that. I don't care what you do or where you go. I'd like you to take the solemnity of this message and the thought of this message and take it with you. If it be with you ever, 24 hours a day, every day of the year, I would be appreciative of that. Because the bottom line, you and I are going to deal with this. People say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to live to old age and I'm going to do so and so. I'm going to get rich and going to have a lot of land and cars and so forth. But the bottom line, you, no matter where you get, how far, how high, how rich, how powerful, you will meet death, and you don't know when it's coming. Amen. Your appointment is his set. There's a lot of young people in a grave. There's a lot of middle-aged people in the cemeteries, in the grave. There's a lot of old people in the graves. Just go and look. You don't have to believe me. Just go to every cemetery and walk through them. I've been there. I've seen them. Maggie and I have gone through them when she was doing her book for the Sorrel family. We've been out looking for this one and that one, looking at the graves. I was looking down in South Carolina one time many years ago, and in that, I thought, my, a lot of people in this cemetery was old people. Went way back in the 1800s. 1895 they were born and so forth. Been there a long time or lived a long time. But that does not guarantee you and I are going to live a long time. You can step out of this life at any time. Amen. The main thing to do is to be ready.
Yes.
And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Our time is 70 years. 70 years. Where are you at in that frame? Where are you at in that time set? 70. But if by strength you go on to 80, or on to 90, or on to 100, still the bottom line is, compared to eternity, that's a hand's breadth of time, and that's not very long. We've got a lot of people that live pretty old today. We've got many people, a lot of saints live pretty old. Brother Vader was one of the oldest living preachers that we've had in a while. He was 87 years old when he died, but he died. Helped preach his funeral. Helped preach his wife's funeral. She had been in the ministry herself 70 years, folks. She had been in her ministry longer than some people even live. But the bottom line to us is Carrie died, Brother Vader died, and they stepped out into eternity to be with God. Listen today, where are we at? How long are you going to live? You do not know that. You don't know when you're going to step out and meet God. You don't know how you're going to meet God. You don't know how you're going to die. There are people that died all kind of ways. Now, the deal with Sister Marilyn is horrible in her eyes. I've never heard of such a thing as being saints since I've been saved and among the church. But the bottom line was, she today, she stepped out and she's gone to be with the Lord. She stepped out and she's got glory. How she died was not good. It was a horrible death. Bottom line was, it was bad. But the bottom line was, she was saved and she went on to be with the Lord. It didn't take her long. I don't know much about that. I'm going to ask my daughter last time. We got tied up talking to other things. But here's the thing. You're going to die. But when and how? Like I said, the night I got saved, going home, and a man had come and dealt with me for 3 hours. He come into my business, or not my business, but my boss's business. I work for service station, Danny Webb. And he come in there, and he had worked with me and wooed me and done everything he could do to get me to get saved. And he started at 9 o'clock, and we went all the way to midnight. Lord had been convicting me for weeks and months, but I would not. He said, Carl, he said, all you got to do is get on your knees and start praying and begging the Lord to save you. He said, he'll save you right here, right now. And I wouldn't do it. But I got in the car and I went to the house. And Jesus sat down in the right seat. And he went with me home. And he let me know, Lloyd told me that night, he said he had a brother that was killed at a young age. 2019, whatever it was, 21, I don't know. It was before my time and with the Lord. And he said he went out at a young age. It done something to him. It done something to family. And as I was going home, the Lord let me know that you could die too. There's no guarantee how long you're going to live. You're pushing me off. You're pushing me back. You're telling me no. But listen, the very one that can save us and deliver us is the very one we're pushing back. And he's the very one that wants to save us, praise God. Oh, help us, Lord. 70. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. No matter how long you go, there's going to be strength, labor, and sorrow that goes with that. And it said, and it's soon cut off, and we fly away. We step out into eternity. All right, let's go to Job, the 30th chapter. Job 30, please. And about the 23rd verse. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death. Oh, the Lord is going to do that. And I want to tie that in with Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter and the 8th verse. I love this reading right in here. Says there is no man that has spirit, power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And this, all this have I seen, applied my heart to every work that is done of the Son. There's a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And he said, and so I saw the wicked buried. Think about what this is saying. Who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Now he said, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. He said there that you're going to bring me to a place of death. I was with my mother one time many, many years ago, and she called me at my business, and I was there, and she called me, and she said, son, I'm dying. I rushed to the house. And I went in the room there with her in her room. She's laying on her bed, and she got to a point, she said, life is walking away from me. She said, life is walking away, Carl, and I can't stop it. It's leaving me. Pray, pray. She was desperate. I don't know if I've ever seen too many people any more desperate than the mother was that morning. She wasn't an old woman at that time, but she said, life is walking away. I can't stop it. Pray, pray. I can't stop it. It's leaving me. It's going. And it appeared she was going. It appeared that she was going to die. And she was scared. She wasn't saved. She had had a chance. God had been dealing with her for weeks or months. And there she was. And now then she thought she was on her deathbed. And life was walking away. Listen, folks, today, one day it's going to walk away. And there's no way you're going to stop it. There's no way, no strength, no money, no power of any death that you have or anybody else has that's going to stop death from getting you when it's time to go. One of the Elwells many years ago had a heart attack in a hospital. And they called out for prayer. A lot of people went to prayer and was begging for mercy and so forth. He wasn't saved and he needed help and so forth. And they was praying. Well, right in the same hospital was a cardiologist. One of the most renowned heart doctors in that area. Maybe in the, I don't know the whole country, but he was well renowned right there in that area. He too had a massive heart attack. The doctors converged on him. Done everything they could do. He slipped out and he was gone. The Elwell, by the mercy of God, God touched him and spared him and he lived on. I don't know how long after that. Listen today, you can be a doctor, you can be a president, you can be a king or a queen, but there's no discharge. Listen, folks, we're going to deal with it one of these days. There's not going to be a discharge. There's no power that you've got to stop this. When it's time to die, you will die. Neither hath he power in the day of death. Mama, I've never been at the bedside of quite a few people. I've seen a number die in over 30 years now. And the bottom line was, I've never seen anybody more scared than my mother was that morning. It's walking away. Life is leaving me. I can't stop it. And I was begging with all I had for God to have mercy, and he did. He spared her life at that point. But today, she thought she would die. She did die one day. When it come time to die, she had got into Alzheimer's and she was fading, and we knew she was fading. She hadn't eaten much since about Thanksgiving, about 1st of November, I guess it was, our Thanksgiving along in there. And she was going down and down and down. Well, my sister-in-law, Debbie Hanarian, had spent quite a bit of time with her that morning. And she went in, the nurse came in and said, Irma, do you want to go to the table? Mrs. Schaefer, what do they call her? She said, yes, I want to go. She hadn't hardly gone to the table at all to eat. She said, I'll go. So she got her in the wheelchair and she took her in there. Debbie had gone down the hall and was standing right here in a corner. Mama come down the hall here and went that way, and they waved to one another. Debbie walked out the door and climbed in the car and headed home and called my brother. And Mama went in that dining room, they said, and said she looked at everybody in there. Said she smiled at everybody in there. It's like she was just telling them all goodbye. And she just dropped dead just like that. Her table, her head hit the table and she was gone that quick. She died that fast. Left all of us in a state of shock.
We knew she was going to go, but not quite like that.
Listen, folks, today, your life can go so quickly, you have no chance to pray. You have no chance to do anything.
Because when death comes to a lot of people, it's quick and it's fast. There was a woman down in Florida. She had been a prostitute. The saints had worked with her, and she had come, she got saved, and she lived for God. But she gave in to temptation, and she went back into that profession. She come out of a house one day, and on the sidewalk down here was two men with two guns. And they were pointing, and she walked out, and she didn't realize what was happening. She walked right between them, and they both pulled the trigger and killed her and shot her and dropped her right there.
Right there, she went right out in eternity.
There's people dies instantly and dead in wrecks, and train wrecks, and plane crashes, and so forth. They die over and over and over. There's no power. There's nobody can stop his death when it's time to die.
The thing you have to do is be ready to die. Now then, the 10th verse of this 8th chapter is a very serious one to me. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city, which they had so done, this is also vanity. In other words, to me, what this scripture is saying right here is I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. There's a lot of people that are not where they ought to be, that is going to church year after year after year. They got down to the end of life, they had never made a change, they had never gotten saved, they had never done anything about the spiritual needs that they had, and they walked out into eternity. Listen, the bottom line is this, you can go to church every Sunday, every day of your life, every camp meeting and so forth, but if you die lost, it's vanity of all the years you spent in church and didn't do you a bit of good.
It's vanity. It's worthless. It don't amount to anything. Listen, what amounts and what amounts or what counts in this deal is the fact that you get down and you get saved and you get delivered and you live for God and you're ready to meet Him at the end of life's way. Oh, it's vanity. Oh, Lord, have mercy this morning.
Proverbs, the 10th chapter, 27th verse. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now I want Psalms 55. Here's where I got some insight, I believe, this morning in a way that I've never got it on this line of thought. 55 and 23 of Psalms. It said, but thou, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men. Now listen to what this is saying. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. He said there that he said, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened.
It's wise to keep the fear of God on your heart all your life. The problem with the United States today and the world is it's got away from the fear of God. We don't have the fear of God like we used to, folks. It is just not there. It is just not what it used to be. If it was, this country would be in better shape than what it is. But they've gotten away. They don't care. They don't fear God. Listen, it's not taught in the schools. It's not taught at home. It's not taught in the churches like it ought to be out there in Babylon. It's not taught that way. So consequently, the fear of God has escaped many, many people, young and old. So he said, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. It's the fear of God that causes men to live and get where they need to be with God and live the life that they need to be. And it prolongs them. It gives them as long a life as possible. I want to tell you, young people today, you need to live just as long as you can. You need to live for God just as long as you can. You need to be a blessing to souls just as long as you can. Because there's not enough people living for God the right way today. It prolongs days. You're not doing the drinking and the smoking and the drug. It prolongs days. But here's my thought I got this morning. But man can make his own appointment with death.
Yeah, they can do that.
It said over here in 55 and 23, it said, but thou, O God, shall bring them down the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. And then it said that the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I think there's another scripture talks about sin shall shorten the life of mankind. There are multitudes of people down through the years that's made their own appointment with death because of the life they lived. They went out drinking. They went out carousing. They went out doing things that they shouldn't do. And they got into trouble and they died and they met God. And it wasn't really His time to call them, but they met Him anyway. Listen, folks, we don't want to do that. You do not want to set your own time of appointment with death. Don't do it. I beg you not to do it today. I beg you to let God give you the prolonging day, the long day. How many want to die a short death or a short life? Anybody want to die quickly? Go out today? That means everybody in here wants to live just as long as they can. And we better live according to the Bible, hadn't we? We better think about it. We better consider it. The Lord, the fear of God prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. There are multitudes after multitudes of people that have shortened their lives by the way they have lived wrong. There was a young lady one time having a little gospel meeting many, many years ago. She had gone to that meeting with her boyfriend. Her daddy was well-to-do. He was well-respected in the community. They were admired by the people. And she went to that meeting and she was there and she was under conviction. And she started to go to the altar and her daddy saw her. So that night when her boyfriend brought her home in the buggy and the wagon, she come in the house and dad was waiting for her. And he said, "Girl, I saw you looking and weighing and thinking about going to that altar tonight. Was that not right?"
"Yeah."
He said, "I'll wade through blood to get you away from that altar if you go." He said, "Don't you go to that altar." So she went on through the meeting. The next night she stood at the back and she smiled and she laughed and she carried on. That went on through the rest of the meeting. And on about Monday or Tuesday after the meeting, she had gone to school and she got to feeling bad and she come home and she told Mama, said, "I'm sick, you better call the doctor." So Mama called the doctor and he come out and he assessed the situation. Now again, this is many years ago. It's not like what we have today as far as medical advancement and so forth, but he assessed the situation and he told the parents in quiet out in the hall, said, "If you want to do anything for her, you better do it in a hurry. She ain't going to be here very long." Well, it got down and she kept going down and down and down. It got to the place one day that she said, "Daddy, will you pull me up in bed? My feet's on fire. I'm burning. I'm burning, Dad. I'm burning. Please pull me up in the bed." Now, this is a young lady. This is not a 70-year-old woman, a 60-year-old woman, 50-year-old woman. This young lady was still in school, young people. She was young. Listen, there's young people go to hell, folks. There's old people go to hell. There's middle-aged people go to hell. And everybody dies. So, she said, "Dad, I need a drink. I want a drink of the old moss-covered well." I think she called her moss-covered, yeah, moss-covered well. It had a good, cool water. Said, "Go get it. I'm very, very thirsty." And he went to get it. And before he got back, she died. And stepped out into eternity with feet on fire. Burning! Burning! Listen, she, along with her father, shortened her own life. She rejected. Oh, at one point I thought, they told her, said, "Pray. Pray, darling, pray." I can't remember her name. Said, "Pray." And she said, "I can't pray." Said, "Since that night that I went up to my room after my dad talked to me, I told the Holy Ghost to never deal with me again, and my heart's been cold stone ever since." Oh, God have mercy. Listen, folks, you can reject the Spirit of God. You can reject the dealing, and you can go to hell with it. Because if you reject God, He's the only one that can get you there. Jesus gave His life. He died for you and I. He died to take us to heaven. But if we reject Him and His blood, that's the thing that can get us there. If we reject that, we're doomed. Had an uncle I never knew. State of Missouri. Lived just down the road from the Myrtle Campground. His name was Uncle Andrew. His wife was a jewel, a saint, and lived that way for many years. And Uncle Andrew was a fine moral man. My wife said he was a jewel. and the fact of morality and everything.
He paid his bills. He was just good in every way. And he would point down to the chapel and he'd go, I'm just as good as anybody in that building down there.
But he never got saved.
And it hit me one day here some time back. I don't know, since Becky died, before Becky died, I don't remember that. But anyway, I got to thinking about Uncle Andrew. And I got to thinking about the way he died. And I thought, you know, Uncle Andrew, the last sin that you committed was the sin of rejection. You rejected the very one that could deliver you, save you, and bless you, and you rejected him, and you stepped out into eternity just like that. Oh, today, the sin of rejection has sent many a soul to hell, folks. It has destroyed their souls in a devil's hell because they rejected the one that loved them and died for them. Listen, people say, well, it's no big deal. Christ died for me. Yeah, it is. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He went through all kind of horror to get it there. And yet you and I, if we reject him, we're going to get ourselves in deep, deep trouble. Oh, tonight, there's been many a person has literally shortened their life. Don't shorten your life, young people. I beg you, live for God. I beg you, turn your life to God. I beg you, reach out to God. Get a relationship with God. Get Him. Hold on to Him. I've been saved most of my life. I got saved in 1971. I was 18 years old when I got saved. And I don't regret one day of it. Sister Tina, you've been saved quite a few years. And some of the others maybe. But the bottom line is today, I don't regret one day.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it. I've been blessed. I've had battles. I've had trials. I've had tribulation. But the bottom line is, I still love Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to make heaven. Let's go to Job, the 14th chapter. Job 14:7. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet though the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Many people that live for God, you watch their lives. They come to the end. They have victory, and they step out into eternity. We feel they made it. We feel they're in the heavens portals with Christ and God and the Holy Spirit and all the angels and the saints. We feel that way. But then there's those people that really come to the end and really don't have that. They don't have the profession of salvation. They don't have the life. Well, some of them may have a profession, but they really don't have the life. And they're going right along and they get down close to the end and all of a sudden they're gone and they're out into eternity. Where are they? Sister said this morning, there's only two places, heaven or hell. Where did he go? Where did they go? Have you ever wondered where a person was? Have you ever lamented in your mind, did they make it? Did they not make it? I know of a case where a young man about 16, 17 years old was going to see his girlfriend. They broke up that weekend. He was coming back home and a drunk man hit him head on and sent him out into eternity. And the person that told me the story was only 10 when this man died. And they said, I remember, Carl, of how they were reaching for every hope they could get that he made it. They really didn't know. They really didn't have the hope. He had lived for God, but he had waffled back and forth. He'd been flipping and flopping, and they really flat did not know. Where is he? Don't die, and somebody goes, where is he?
That's right.
They didn't know. They told me, said, Carl, I did not know. They didn't. She was,
boy, she really was too young to fathom what it was till she got older.
But she said, I look back on the scene and I wonder. I remember what Dad said and what the aunts and the uncles were saying. I could see that. Or the brothers and sister, not aunt and uncle, brother and sister. So I could see now what they were in pain about. They didn't know where he was. There's nothing more hurtful than for us to look and feel like a person didn't make it. That puts anguish, that puts horror in the minds of you and I that know what it's like to go to heaven as much as we can know. Or a person go to hell as much as we can know. But the bottom line is, if you feel they was lost and you feel they did not make it, that makes the grief even that much harder. Oh, tonight, where is he? Where is he at? Oh, Lord, have mercy today. You and I need to come to grips. We need to come to a point of remembering that we're going to meet death. Death is going to come and get us. You don't have the power in that day to stop it. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 9. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now then, you're thinking, where did He put this one in there? I'm going to put it in there. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. You can use that the right way. And that is that He's not slack concerning the promises to you and I, the saints of God and the church of God, to do for us what He says He'll do. But what about the other angle of it? He's also not slack concerning His promises of doom for those that are not ready to meet God. You've got to meet it. Listen, somebody said, well, I've just got to get by. Well, wait a minute. If you're not saved, if you, by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ and so forth, if you're not where you ought to be, the very scriptures that's a blessing to those of us that are, it's going to be doom and damnation for you. It's going to be hell and heat and all the bad things. For though the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Listen, folks, today, if He says that if you're not saved and you go out into eternity, you'd be lost, that's exactly what it means. There's no changing it. There's no watering it down. There's no sugarcoating it or putting cherries on top. The bottom line is, folks, if we're not ready to meet God, we're going to be lost. I've hammered on this in this meeting and hammered on it, but it's true. I come here, I fell with a burden that the Lord wants us to let you know that you've got to be saved. You need a no-soul salvation. Because death is going to be something you'll deal with one day. The Lord not slack concerning His promise, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, He works and He calls, and He calls and He works, and He deals with everybody. He don't have to deal with you more than one time. But usually He deals several times. Several times down through life, if they don't give their hearts to the Lord, He will keep working and calling. Listen, folks, Jesus wants you to go to heaven worse than you do. Amen. If He wouldn't have, He never died for you. He said, I died for you, child. Listen, folks, He died for every one of you individually that He can take you to heaven today. And He's going to do everything He can do to get you there. But let me tell you something. If we reject it, like Uncle Andrew did, the scripture that's a blessing to the saints is also a decisive rejection to you. You reject Him, and He'll reject you. You reject Him, and hell is your doom. It's no ifs and ands about it. It's solid. It's concrete. It's in the Word. Let's go to Revelation 14, 13. Let's wrap it up. Revelation 13, 14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Write. What am I supposed to write, Lord? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth.
Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. What do you want me to write? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, listen folks today, it's blessed for you and I when we die to be in God. To have the salvation. I don't care where you're at in life. I don't care how old or how young. I don't care where your financial status is. What you own, what you don't own. The bottom line is, we're blessed at the time of death if we have Jesus Christ. Let's die in the Lord. Die in Him. I've been by the bedside of a number of people that's gotten saved. Oh, there's another one. Brothers. There was a brother that lived in sin for many years. And he got down. He got emphysema. He was going down spiritually. Or not spiritually, but physically. He was going down and going down. He let it be known. I need you all to come pray for me. So we went. There was two or three of us. When I say we, there's two or three, not just me. And we went there. And we worked with him. And we prayed with him. And we cried with him. And bless God, he got it. And he kept it. His big thing is cigarettes. He had a cigarette habit, and it gave him, destroyed his lungs, and he had emphysema, and he went out and died that way. But the bottom line was, listen folks today, he kept the victory over the habit of cigarettes once he got it. He kept it, and he went on out, and he had a joyful passing, and went on out into eternity. He had a brother. This brother made a call. Brother, well, a brother and I was in the install work, and we were going back home one day, and he called him. He didn't call me. He called him and said, where are y'all at? Where are you at? He said, well, I'm so-and-so, and Brother Carl and I's traveling and so forth. He said, when are you going to be home? Well, we'll be home, I think, was that evening. And he said, can you meet me tomorrow at the chapel? I want to do business with God. And said, tell Brother Carl to bring Sister Rebecca, because Karen wants to do business with God, too. And so we went down there, and he got saved. And they went along, and he kept getting stronger, and things were going good, and I was encouraged by everything. But he had had a heart problem for many years, and that thing turned on him. He started filling with fluid. Some of us, even one brother here with me, and others too, and we went down there, and we prayed, and a friend of the wife come over. And she said, tell you what, said, ain't no problems there. They just take him to the hospital and they'll draw all that fluid off of him in about an hour's time. He'll be ready, fit to go. And he looks at me and said, what would you do? What would you tell me to do? I think he said, what would you tell me to do? I said, I can't tell you what to do. I've struggled with that a little bit, folks. He went to the hospital. And it wasn't an hour, but he was in there, I think, for several days. His faith went from here to there. He lost it all. He backslid. He went back. He started doing things he shouldn't do. And he died very quickly. I think he had chewing tobacco in his mouth. And he dropped dead and went out into eternity. Two brothers. One had the victory because they kept it and they stayed with it. The other allowed things to pull him down. And he was lost, apparently, or appeared to be lost right down at the end. Oh, today, that's another man that I worked with, one of the saddest cases I've ever seen in my life. He had an aneurysm in the brain. He had had it there for many years. I moved to South Carolina, and as I was there, I got the request was put in one Sunday morning, said so-and-so's in the hospital. So I began to inquire. I hadn't been there very long. Began to inquire, and that was one of many trips I made to Charleston to the University Hospital down there. I went down there, and this man was the son of one of the greatest pastors that's ever pastored in Holly Hill. He had an implicable name. I lived there nearly 6 years, and there was only one bad thing, if you want to call it bad, that I ever heard of this man. And that was, he had 12 children, and one time they felt like he didn't discipline one child just quite right. That's all I ever heard wrong with this man. And his son is laying in the hospital. I begged him. I pled with him. I pled and I begged and I cried and I pled and I begged. I said, Jimmy, don't go with the surgery. I said, Jimmy, let's get saved. Let's trust the Lord. Let's go this way. Please don't go with the surgery. I begged him over and over. His surgery, the first surgery, was the first day of February, which was my birthday on 1999. That was the first of four surgeries. And the sad thing about it, he went from having a wife, having a son, having a business, having good health, and being able to have the world by the tail, so to speak. And this thing started, and it started going downhill. And when it was over with, he had lost everything, folks, and he was in a nursing home. His wife was gone. His son was gone. Everything he owned was gone. And when I visited him for the last time when I left South Carolina, Jimmy was in a nursing home, and he died there several years later. They did tell me that they felt like that he got saved up before he got died, and cancer is what killed him. And the doctors had searched and searched and searched and worked and worked, and he was sick and he was getting worse and worse, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was. Listen, folks, today, people put their trust in man, but I'm going to tell you, men make a lot of mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes. Jimmy died and went out into eternity, but he lost everything. I would have done everything. I did do everything I could do to keep that from happening. I didn't know what was going to happen when I first started pleading with him. I'm going to tell you, you're wise to listen to a minister when he comes to you and says, listen, I'd be very careful not to do that. And I'm not talking just about me. I'm talking about any minister that comes and pleads with you. I'm going to tell you, saints and sinners, whoever you are here today, you need to take high thought of what that minister tells you, backed by the Word of God. And says, I wouldn't do that because this man lost it all. Everything. I watched it 1 degree at a time. It was so, so sad. Let's go to Proverbs 14 and 32. We're about through here. Proverbs 14 and 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Do you want hope when you come to the end? Do you want hope when it gets down? You're laying there. You know death is coming. Do you want to be able to look out and say, all right, let me give you some instances. Had a cousin, Louisiana, that she had not done exactly like she ought to do. And she got down. She was in trouble. She knew she's in trouble. That's what I hear. And she got down and she started repenting. She started confessing. She started forsaking. And she got her life straightened out with God. And the pastor told this story. There were people in the room with her one day. And she said, do you see that man over in the corner over there? And they go, what man you talk about? I said, there's a man over there. No, I don't see no man. Another time, in this corner over here, there was two of them. And she goes, do you see those men? No. I'm going to tell you, saints, that brother said that she died one of the glorious deaths. He said, I want my end to be just like hers. She made it right. Listen, folks, don't leave one stone unturned. When it gets down to eternity, when it gets down to death, we're going to meet it. We're going to deal with it. And don't allow anything to hinder you. That way you'll have hope. You'll have peace and joy. You'll be able to look to God. Listen, she had angels that was waiting for her, that took her on to glory, praise God. Visited her. Listen, wouldn't you like angels to visit you in your bedroom? I would. Said she would, they just come and visit her. You see them? No. Oh, today. If you was to die right now, now let me put it a little different. If you was to get down sick on your deathbed, would you have hope that you would make it without doing anything? Which could you look and say, what would it be like? Listen, folks, we need to have hope. We need to have hope that will carry us, bless us, strengthen us, encourage us, and help us when we get down to the end. Listen, you need everything you can have, the way of hope, when you get to death. It's serious, folks. It's very serious. Been with them. Watched them. Watched them breathe their last. Watched them pray. All kind of things I've seen down through the years. And this thing I know,
And as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this the judgment.
We will meet that appointment. We will meet that appointment. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. Listen, folks, today, if we're not where we want to be or need to be, when we get there, that's going to trouble us, that's going to stand in our way, that's going to give us problems. All right, one more scripture, Numbers 23 and 10. We'll be through. Numbers 23 and 10. One of the... said, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me... how can you say this? Let me die the death of the righteous and my last end be like his. I want to have the life. I want to die like different ones. Ministers, saints, been at their bedside, seen their victory, seen their blessing, seen their glory. Been there, seen it. I want to be like that, like Brother Veda, Brother Salmon. Let me tell you about Brother Salmon's death. His son told me this personally, was with him when he died. He said that he had been there. Was you there that night? You was there that night, wasn't you, Brother Marty? A little while before he died, Brother Marty was with him. He was in the living room. Got down to a point and Brother Marty left and his son John said, Dad, he said, well, let's go to bed. He said, all right. So they got up and they went in the bedroom. Brother Salmon sat on the side of the bed. John reached down to do something, get some tissue or something, and was down kind of kneeling, if I remember right. And John said he heard a noise. He said it was like a valve shutting. Now the men in here would understand that. Said it was just like somebody turned a valve. And he said he looked up and his father was starting to go back on the bed. God shut it down. Right like that, Brother Salmon stepped out into eternity. Before Brother Tony could get over there, Brother Salmon was gone, if I remember right. He died not instantly, but very, very quickly. It was just that easy. He just shut off the flow of blood, so to speak. Brother Salmon's gone. Let's stand. Let's have a number. Appreciate your time, attention, your prayers this morning. Pray for me.